So as we continue in our series on the way to life based on the Gospel of Mark, we come across two stories today where the topic of leadership is in focus. The Gospel of Mark here paints for us two portraits of two very different leaders. On the one hand, you have Jesus, the servant king, as we have sang, the servant king who is also the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords of the universe, the entire universe. And then on the other hand, you have Herod, painted as a weak, cowardly, immoral, and murderous leader, also known as King Herod, the Tetrarch, which literally means that he ruled a quarter of a region, not even a whole region, but a quarter of a region. These two portraits are contrasted for us here so that we would understand what good leadership is like. You see, anyone can be a leader. A leader is not limited by age, by race, by gender. Anybody can be a leader. In fact, most of us are leaders whether we realize it or not. Because leadership, in one word, is influence. Leadership is influence. Anytime we influence someone else, we are being a leader. So the question is not whether you are a leader or not. The question is, are you a good leader or a bad leader? Today, our world is starving for good leaders. Now, some people say that we're facing a shortage of leadership. They say that the world is experiencing a leadership vacuum. Some people say that we're facing a leadership crisis. Now, why would people think that? Don't we still have presidents, kings or queens leading countries? Don't we have governors and mayors leading provinces and states and cities? Don't we have generals leading armies? Don't we have CEOs and managers leading companies? Why would people say that we are experiencing a leadership crisis? Obviously, they're not referring to any kind of leadership. They're talking about a crisis in terms of good leadership. We have a vacuum of good leadership. The Gospel of Mark presents to us these two portraits of leadership so that as we grow in our own leadership, we would have a clear picture of what a good leader looks like. The way to life, living life the way God wants us to live, is by being a good leader. Whether you're currently leading a throng of people or you're not leading anyone at all, but one day you will, strive to be a good leader. In today's text, we're giving three characteristics of a good leader. A good leader is humble, he is faithful, he or she is empowering. Let's first read together a portion of today's text. Our text for today is Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 29, but we will only read verses 1 to 7. So we'll read it together out loud. Okay? Are you ready? Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Let's go. Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to him, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household. And he could do no miracle there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief, and he was going around the villages teaching. So he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. First, if we want to lead, we need to learn to lead by walking humbly. In today's text, it begins by saying that Jesus came back to his hometown. And it says here that his disciples followed him. How do you know whether you are a leader or not? How do you know? You look behind you and you see whether there's anybody following. If there is no one following you, you're not really leading, you're just taking a walk. So, is anybody following you? Jesus definitely was a leader, as people were constantly following him, wanting to learn from him. However, what's most striking about Jesus as a leader is how humble he was. Every time I read about instances where Jesus demonstrated amazing humility as a leader, I am just awed by it. Here in his hometown, you know, people who knew him probably since childhood, people who saw him grow up, who saw him running around playing with their own kids, they completely dissed him, disrespected him. Who does this guy think he is? We know him. You know, we saw him grow up. What is he doing trying to teach us? I mean, isn't he just the carpenter's son? Mary? Isn't he just the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And, you know, we know his sisters too. They took offense at him. Now, if you were Jesus, how would you have responded? Mind you, you know, you just performed all these miracles, right? Last week he was on a ship, on a boat, and falling asleep. You have a question? No, I'm sorry. You have your hands up. So if you were Jesus, how would you respond? I mean, he has thousands of people following him. And here you go back to your hometown and people dishonor you, disrespect you. How would you respond? How would you respond? Come on. You're annoyed, angry. What is that? Go ahead. You would react in the same way as No, but you are not being Jesus. How would you respond? You'll be angry, right? At least you'll be angry. Very angry. How dare you? Who do you think I am? I'll show you who I am. All right? And yet, notice, how Jesus' response was anything but that. He just said, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household. In other words, Jesus acknowledged the disrespect as just a fact of life. That's just how it is. And then it says here he went on to continue what he was called to do. He continued to teach in other villages. He wasn't distracted by it. He just saw it for what it is. That's just how people who think they know you will treat you if you try to lead them. I'm just blown away by Jesus' humility. You know, not just from this story alone, but all throughout the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 12, when the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebul, the ruler of demons. In other words, they essentially accused him of being a demon himself. Again, how did Jesus respond? He didn't get angry and insult them back. You call me a demon? You are the demon. I mean, that's what we would do, right? Maybe not out loud, at least in our own heart. If someone calls you a derogatory name, you'll probably in your own heart call them something even worse. Me, demon, you. You are the chief of demons. You're Satan himself. However, when the Pharisees did that to Jesus, he calmly just showed them how illogical their accusation was. That's humility. In John 6, when many of his disciples deserted him because they couldn't accept his teaching. You know, Jesus was teaching about the body being resurrected, about himself and them needing to eat his flesh and his blood. People couldn't accept that. And many, many of his disciples left him. Yet how did Jesus respond? Again, he responded in humility. When his own brothers ridiculed him, derided him for not being more public about his ministry, you should go to Jerusalem and preach there, essentially saying to him the equivalent of, you know, you should promote yourself on YouTube. You'll be famous, just like that. Jesus again responded in humility. When Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss, he humbly submitted to the authorities. When they mocked him, spit upon him, falsely accused him, beat him, Jesus humbly suffered in silence. When they crucified him on the cross, Jesus prayed for those who murdered him, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." That's incomprehensible humility. It's mind-blowing how humble Jesus was. Whether people disrespected him, dishonored him, demonized him, derided him, dismissed him, or deserted him, as a leader, Jesus always responded with humility. He is truly an amazing and good leader. In contrast, in the story of Herod, in our text today, when John the Baptist confronted Herod for marrying Herodias, who not only was his sister-in-law, but also his niece, mind you, out of pride and revenge, Herod had John arrested to keep him silent, and then eventually beheaded him at the request of his stepdaughter, who had danced seductively in front of him and his guests. What a creep. What a creep. Herod was the epitome of a prideful leader with no moral standard whatsoever. As you and I learn to lead, we must follow in the footsteps of Jesus and learn from his incredible humility. Why? Because in the process of leading others, I guarantee you, people will disrespect you. People will dishonor you, demonize you sometimes, deride you, dismiss you, and desert you. These are just some of the ways our leadership will be tested. These are just natural trials that we must all pass as we interact with each other. And when people do that to you, how will you respond? How will you respond? I like how the Apostle Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. It says here, in your relationships with one another. Do I have those verses printed? Maybe I didn't. Or do I? Here you go. In your relationships with one another, and let me add, as you lead others, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. This brings us to our next point. Not only do we need to lead by walking humbly, but we must also lead by serving faithfully. See, Jesus took on the nature of a servant, and we must do the same. You see, leadership is filled not only with trials that can make us better leaders, but also with temptations that can quickly turn a good leader into a bad leader. For example, leadership comes with power. And as we all know, power often corrupts. A little boy once wrote a short essay on what he wants to become when he grows up. He wrote, "When I grow up, I want to study politics. I want people to vote for me so that I can become a public servant. That way, I will have a lot of servants serve me in public." You know, this little boy's understanding of a public servant is someone with servants serving him in public. Now, we may smile at this misunderstanding, but how often do we see leaders and public servants who actually act that way? Leaders who become intoxicated with power, and instead of serving the needs of the people, of those who follow them, they abuse and misuse their power to serve only themselves and to have others serve them. That's what happened to King Herod, who used his position of power to serve his own lust and to cover for his own sins. In contrast, we have Jesus, who is constantly and tirelessly serving others, healing, teaching, casting out demons, feeding people. Remember the story where Jesus, last week when he fell asleep in the midst of a storm, he was exhausted from serving others. Jesus truly was a servant, a leader whom we need to emulate. Even after he had been disrespected and dismissed by the people of his hometown, today's text in verse 6 didn't say, "And Jesus went away hurt, feeling sorry for himself, and he quit ministry altogether." No, that's not what the text says. Instead, it tells us that he kept going around the villages, teaching. Jesus led by serving faithfully. Can I tell you a little dirty secret about churches? If you decide to serve people in church, you will inevitably get hurt. If you try to serve and lead people in church, you will inevitably get hurt. I have seen too many people, especially the leaders, quit serving because of hurt. As leaders, we must learn to serve faithfully. It doesn't matter whether you are a small group leader, whether you're trying to lead a few people, a large number of people, whether you're the pastor of the church. If you lead people, you will get hurt. That's just the way it is. The question is, will you be faithful? Continue to serve? Or will you just quit? As a leader, we must learn to serve faithfully. We're called to be servants and serve those who follow us. Are you willing to serve those who follow? You know, this past week, Amy and I celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. We actually found an old video this week of Amy and her family visiting our church in Paris back in 1983. You know, for 7 summers, she and her family, 4 sisters and a brother and parents, her dad is a missionary, a pastor, they traveled all over the world. If you've seen, pictures or videos of them, they're like in costumes and standing on stage, singing, beautiful harmony, dancing and skits and playing instruments, and her dad will be preaching, and they used to be called the Grace Family Septet. You know, seven of them all over the world, literally all over the world, just serving God and preaching the gospel. In 1983, they did a tour of Europe and somehow ended up in my church in Paris. We've never seen this video. Her brother somehow decided to send tons of videos from their tour, and I just happened to click on one of them, and I'm like, this is my church I grew up in. Just a short 1-minute video. We've never seen it before. So in the summer of 1983, they went to my church, and in the blurry video, there was this skinny kid hanging in the balcony looking down at this family performing on stage. That was me. I remember thinking, I wouldn't mind meeting these girls, on stage. But it never happened, as I was way too shy to approach them after church service. Do you want to see that video? It's only a minute. I have it here. It's not going to be... Do you have it? Can you play it? No, you don't? Okay, that's okay. They don't have it. It won't be meaningful to you anyway. It's a very blurry video, very grainy, because back then, 1983, they didn't have the technology that we have today. But, you'll see the video pan to the balcony and this skinny kid standing up there, barely recognizable, but I know it was me. It's me, looking down. After moving to New York City that summer, that was my last church service, my last time, last week in that church, and I happened to see this family. The following week, I moved to New York City, and while attending church in Chinatown, the worship leader one Sunday announced, a new senior pastor is coming to pastor our church. They have 5 kids, 4 daughters, and a son, and they're all very musical. I wondered, could it be the same family? It was. To make a long story short, we ended up in the same youth group. We started liking each other a year later, and another 7 years later, we got married. And I was only 25, and Amy was only just 24. Just kids. We were just kids. Now, with such a romantic story, you would think that our marriage was perfect, right? In fact, that's what someone said at our wedding. This is a match made in heaven. They both can sing. It's a match made in heaven. It wasn't. Or maybe it was, but our marriage was anything but perfect. We were so different from each other, and we fought all the time to the point where we almost didn't make it and called it quit. However, our differences aside, the main reason why we struggled so much was because I was a terrible, terrible leader. I was proud and thought that I was way better than Amy. Obviously, I was. I was selfish, wanting to be served rather than to serve. I never thought that I needed to lead Amy, as she was, and she still is, a strong natural leader. She is a strong natural leader. However, one day, in tears, Amy said to me, Luke, all I want is a man who can lead me and protect me. These were hard words to swallow. Your wife is telling you that you're not much of a man, not much of a leader, and that she feels unprotected. But she was right. So that day I decided that I would learn how to lead my wife. Otherwise, there would be no marriage left. I bought tons of books that talked about marriage and what a healthy marriage looks like. I bought books that talked about the differences between men and women, books that talked about what women need. I listened to tapes that talked about marriages. I studied the Bible to see what God said about healthy marriages, the role of men and women in marriage, the goal of marriage. I took classes in seminary on marriage counseling, watched countless numbers of videos and preaching on marriage. I spent much time thinking and praying for our marriage. But the turning point in our marriage was not all the knowledge I had accumulated. The turning point was when I started applying what I had learned and I started leading my wife, Amy, by serving her. There was a period of time when I asked Amy every day, "What can I do to serve you today? What can I do to serve you today?" Brothers and sisters, if you want to be good leaders, if you want to be a good leader, you need to learn to serve. You want to have influence over others? Learn to serve. And don't quit. Don't quit, even if it hurts. A good leader serves faithfully those who are following. Finally, we must lead by empowering others fully. In verse 7, it says that Jesus called the 12 and he began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. See, Jesus was empowering his disciples to do what he does. Herod, on the other hand, instead of empowering others, was portrayed as a weak leader who was being led around by the nose by his own stepdaughter, who got him to reluctantly behead John at the behest of Herodias. Herod not only didn't empower others, he was being easily manipulated by others. The Gospel of Mark here recorded Jesus fully empowering his disciples to show us that this is a key metric to measure a person's leadership. It makes sense because, you see, Jesus' great commission is for us to go and make disciples. His plan is for us to replicate ourselves as disciples, and we do that by growing as leaders and empowering others to do the same. Therefore, a key measurement of a good leader is whether we are replicating ourselves or not, whether we are empowering those we lead. This is a critical point because there is so much confusion nowadays as to what leadership is. Some people confuse good leadership to having a title or a position, a hat that they wear. When I was learning Chinese in China, my textbook had a funny story of people exchanging name cards. You know, they would exchange name cards, and everyone had the title of general manager behind their name. Huang Zhong, you know, Li Zhong, Zhen Zhong. Everybody was a Zhong, a general manager. And that's because everyone thought that having the right title made them automatic leaders. Not true. Just because you have a title of leadership doesn't make you a leader. If you have to use your title to remind people that you are the boss or the general manager or even the pastor in order to get them to follow you, then you're not much of a leader. In some homes, the parents think that they are leading their children just because they have the title of a parent, when in fact, their children are the ones leading them You know, the parents just follow whatever the children demand. Let me tell you, children don't make good leaders at home. They just don't have the maturity and the discernment to lead. Leadership is not a position or a title. Leadership is measured by whether or not you are empowering those who follow you to do the same. I also see people confuse good leadership with fame. You know, there's a big difference between a celebrity and a good leader. That's not the same thing. Celebrities are simply famous. Leaders empower others. We've got far too many celebrities and not enough leaders in this world. Do you agree with that? Now, celebrities have a huge potential to lead because they are famous. If they choose to lead, they can influence a lot of people. But we all know it doesn't happen very often. A lot of famous people have terrible influences on the world. A lot of famous people hate the responsibility of leadership. They just want the attention. And usually, once they get the attention, they hide and wear hats and sunglasses when they go out. Good leadership also has nothing to do with how rich or powerful you are. A lot of time when looking to fill a position of leadership, you know, we choose people based on how rich or how powerful they are. We think that just because a person owns a lot of things or have a lot of power, they can automatically be a good leader. That's not the case. Good leadership is not measured by how much you own or by how much power you have. Good leadership is measured by how many people you have empowered throughout your life. While on earth, Jesus chose 12 people to walk with him for a season. And during this short 3 years, Jesus taught them, showed them, empowered them, and released them to do what he does, which is to preach, heal, and cast out demons, and that is exactly what they did. You know, Jesus aside, one of my heroes of leadership is my own father-in-law, Amy's dad. I know that he is a good leader because wherever he goes, he leaves behind a legacy of people who can do the same thing as him. It begins with his own family. Every one of his children are currently serving as leaders in their own capacity. Their son is a pastor in San Francisco. Their oldest daughter has been leading a choir for more than 30 years, right, in Seattle. More than 40 years in Seattle. One daughter is leading a children's ministry at a church here in Houston. Another daughter is leading a women's ministry in California. And their youngest daughter, my wife, is co-leading with me a discipleship ministry. You know, during his time in New York, a short 5 years, he planted a few churches there, a handful of churches, and empowered a number of people to lead these churches. Now, every time he goes back, he gets to visit all these leaders he's empowered. He did the same thing in California. And then he spent 20 years in Asia empowering people. Wherever he went, he would teach people, equip them, show them, provide resources for them, empower them, and then release them to do what he does. That's good leadership. How about us? Are we leading today? Are we good leaders as defined here in the Gospel of Mark? The way to life is through good leadership. It begins by walking in humility, by emulating Christ's amazing, amazing humility. We need to learn from him. Then in our humility, we can serve not ourselves, but others faithfully. And the way to measure our leadership is not through our title or position. It is not through how famous we are or how much money or power we have. But it is through how much we have empowered others to become disciple makers themselves. It begins with our own family as a husband, a father, a wife, a mother. And eventually it bleeds into our communities, our places of work, and our churches. We must lead like Jesus. We're called to lead like Jesus. Please pray with me. Jesus, I thank you for your amazing, amazing example of a leader. And sometimes when we read scripture, we miss it. We miss the fact that you are truly amazingly humble, Lord. Your humility just blows our mind. If we just pay attention to how you respond to how people attack you, dishonor you, disrespect you, how people offended you and you refuse to be offended, how you were not distracted by these things, but instead you continued to serve faithfully. Jesus, you are just amazing. And because of that, we want to worship you. We want to worship you. For truly, you are the servant king, and you have called us to follow after you. Lord, help us to know how to do that. It's not easy, I know. And hurts, especially here in the church, is a fact of life, but you have called us not to quit, but to serve you faithfully. And so, Lord, we want to do that, to be faithful to you, to be faithful to you, so that we may grow and learn how to empower others to serve you in the same way. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Come upon us and teach us to be servant leaders as you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.